Good afternoon. It's our Friday. Who the hell are we and why? What do you mean it's our Friday? It's our Friday. It's John Browner's Friday. It's Jason Lawhead's Friday. It's Browner and Lawhead here on the Mightier 1090, ESPN's Mightier 1090. Regardless of how you put it, it's all true. Jason, what is up? Welcome to our final prediction episode of the playoffs. There you go.
Yeah, I like this. I always like these. This is a fun weekend. This is probably, I would rank this when you talk about sport weekends, right? You've got, in my opinion, the opening weekend of March Madness, and even the second weekend with the regionals, Thursday, Friday, regional finals, Saturday, Sunday. Those are two top-tier weekends. I love the Saturday and Sundays at the Masters, especially when Tiger's in it and from the time Tiger's been peak. But boy, this is, and this one especially. Like, this one's always a good one, but like sometimes you're like, this team, whatever, you know. But like, I like all four of these matchups, even the one you hate, even your Costco store matchup, I like. So I'm ready to get into it.
I gotta tell you, man, if you like the show, if you're new to the show, if you just got in your car and you somehow magically just found us, we are Brown and Lawhead, and you can find previous versions of this show if you like this particular show on YouTube and on iTunes Podcast Store by going in and putting in Kaplan and Crew in the search bar for both of those two platforms, and then the show will come up. We're the show with the date in the front. Like, share, and subscribe, and we've got a message for you later on from DraftKings to try to help you make and save money. So boom, boom, and boom. These games, I feel like Johnny Carson. These games are great games. The game we're going to start with is the one closest to home. The Rams against the Bucks. There are statistics that will support people to say the Rams should win this game. I can give you compelling matchups to tell you the Rams should win this game. But then history will tell you Tom Brady doesn't lose this game. So this game in particular, of all the games, I think this game is the most down the middle game of all the games, with Antonio Brown melting down and basically turning into a Kanye West roadie, with the injuries that they have, the secondary always being a little iffy, the Rams front seven in combination with the Bucks now losing their starting center. I got to tell you, man, I'm looking at this game. I'm looking at Aaron Donald. I'm looking at Leonard Floyd. I'm looking at what's left of Von Miller. I'm looking at Jalen Ramsey on Mike Evans. And I'm looking at that Bucks secondary. I'm looking at OBJ. I'm looking at Cooper Kupp. I'm looking at Van Jefferson. I'm looking at the Rams rediscovering their run game. This feels like, to me, a Rams win. And not just a...
Whoa! Hold on! What?
Listen.
From you. I'm not shocked at, like, the blanket prediction. I'm shocked at the Browner predicting this. Or at least possibly seeing the outcome.
I have been skeptical of this team all year. I have never believed in them. Even last week's win versus the Cardinals, I poo-pooed that thing because it literally just didn't... It didn't do anything for me. It didn't leave me with a good feeling. But when I look at this game on paper, when I'm looking at this game from just a statistical and from a health matchup, it favors the Rams in almost every category except the most important one,
mm-hmm.
which is quarterback. And that's what still scares me about the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the money is, right? The whole money line, the spread, it's all predicated on the quarterback matchup. And I'm with you, man. I like the Rams for so many reasons in this game when it comes to on paper, this, that, going into what the game looks like, the previous meeting with some of the intangibles. And when you look at what the Rams can maybe force the Buccaneers into doing and having to get every first down throwing the ball instead of running the ball possibly, or vice versa, depending on how they scheme and the way they were. Oh, man, I want to say Rams out loud. Yeah. I want to say Rams confidently, but then always I go back to TB12, right? And as much as I've wanted to see that guy, not for the reasons of like Big Ben or reasons of Aaron Rodgers' unlikability, I'm kind of just bored and tired, right? Like, I get it. The greatness is there. I don't dispute it. Last year, I took a bunch of heat on Twitter because when he was going through the playoff run, I'm like, you know, I'm just bored of Tom Brady. Can the Saints just win this game already and just let, yeah? You know, and people were like, you're bored of a 28-3 comeback. You're bored of 6 rings. And I'm like, I'm just tired of it. So for those reasons, but it comes down to, I think, the biggest X factors in this game are going to be Cam Akers, the ability for Gronk and Tom Brady to be like co-MVPs. I almost think the only way the Buccaneers repeat is if Tom Brady and Gronkowski can be co-MVPs while they run the football at teams. And if that's the way they can keep that recipe going, I know it was Philly, but if they can keep that recipe by getting first downs on the run and then having those two guys just kind of deplete you of energy and keep you on the field and always get to the end zone on drives instead of field goals, then they're hard to beat. But I like this matchup. I like the Rams in a lot of ways, especially the way they came out. I like the fact that the Rams can run the ball at him, I think, and keep the offense on the field. And they can limit Stafford to 20, 25 passes and make Brady throw it 45, 50 times. What did he throw? 54 times last time?
Yeah.
They only scored 21 points. That's what you want. That's what you want.
I'm going to do an exercise for you. And if you're not driving, do this exercise as well. If you're driving, do this exercise in your head. Make a list of coach, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and defense. I don't know about the kicker, so I swayed away from that. Who's the best?
Well, punter, definitely special teams is on a Ram strength right there.
So, Jason, you got a pen around you? Do this exercise.
I don't right now. I was looking for one, but okay. I thought that was a pen.
So
but it
now
wasn't.
You're the guy in the car. You're driving. You're the guy in the car. Do this exercise in your head. Who's got the better coach? I'm going to say the Rams.
I do too.
Who's got the better quarterback? I'm going to say the Bucks.
Sure.
Who's got the better running back? The Rams do. Who's got the better wide receiver group? The Rams do. Who's got the better defense? The Rams do. So if you do this exercise and you look at it, this makes you feel like this is an easy thing to predict. But the hardest thing to predict is whether Matthew Stafford would be productive.
Right. And that's where Todd Bowles comes in. Yeah, the Rams have the better defense, the better pass rush, the kind of guys that can really make, the kind of game Brady doesn't want to have. But Todd Bowles dials up and calls a good defense with what he's got left. Like, I'll give Todd Bowles that credit, that Todd Bowles is doing a great job and did all through last year's playoffs and does a great job calling a defense. Especially against teams that have some weapons. So that's going to be something in there. So I think maybe, you know, depending on, you know, what McVay's total game plan is and can they stay poised in it even when some things don't go their way early possibly and having to punt the ball and maybe having to swallow some stuff and give up some first. Can they stay poised? Can a guy like OBJ maybe stay poised if he's getting held and grabbed early and they're giving the calls to Tampa Bay? Because they will. Tampa Bay will get away with a little bit of handsy stuff that you sit there and go, how do you call that? And then the same call doesn't get early on. You got to get through that. You know, the Eagles couldn't deal with a few bad calls going their way, and they crumbled like a deck of cards. So, but a much more inexperienced team with less talent, no doubt. That's a key right there. And
but again, everything you're saying makes sense. But I will throw another log into this fire. The last two seasons, you know who've beaten the Bucs? The Rams have. So it's not, because when you say Todd Bowles has the ability to draw up great game plans. I agree with you. I think Todd Bowles has been a fantastic defensive coordinator. But they've already beaten him twice.
Mm-hmm.
They've already beaten them twice. So as great as you and I may think Todd Bowles is, just like it appears that Belichick has Sean McVay's number, maybe Sean McVay has Todd Bowles' number. And that could weigh really, really big in this game. Because I honestly think that of all the games, ironically, the Rams' defense will be far more important than the Rams' offense in this game. I think the Tampa Bay's front, I think the Tampa Bay's offensive line will be far more important than Tampa Bay's defense in this game. So the push and pull of this game is going to be fantastic. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm writing my score down as we speak. I'm going to take the Rams 31-28.
Wow. Rams 31-28.
I think it's gonna come down to the end, because I'm not counting Tom Brady out, but he can only do so much. And I think he's about to hit a wall named Aaron Donald, who I'm also, you know, think he's a little bit overrated, but they've got a lot to throw at Tom Brady in places Tom Brady doesn't like to have things thrown at them. If you blitz Tom Brady, if you get pressure up the middle against Tom Brady, it is well known that's how you get him out of his shoes. And that's what the Rams specialize at. So give me a score.
Gosh, this is so hard, because I want to jump on your band. I want to. I do. And I think if this is the game, I think I've liked the Rams all year, and I think this is the game. This is the game that gets them to the Super Bowl if they win it. I really do. But man, I hate betting against Brady at home. I do. And
give me the number.
I'll almost do reverse psychology, because I hope the Rams win. But I've learned last year through the time that they were the wild card, every time thinking, all right, because I bet money on the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl on the Buccaneers, and won reluctantly, because I was hoping I would lose my money. I would hope, like, hey, nothing ever goes my way. I'll bet on the Buccaneers.
I know how to get them to lose.
I mean, it was like menial bets. It wasn't going to like break my bank, but I'm like, okay, because I was in Vegas performing for those days, and then I was like, okay, and then
I know how to get them to lose. I'll bet money on them.
Exactly. But for some reason, as much as I hope the Rams prove me wrong.
Give me a score. We got to get
34-30 Buccaneers.
Okay, I'm writing it down. You say 34-30.
But I want to be wrong. I want to get that on the record. I want to be wrong, because I like this Rams team, and I think this Rams team is going to play well enough to win. I really do. And if they do, hey, they can win.
So last week, Josh Allen looked like a world beater against probably the best coach in the NFL, being Bill Belichick. This week, he faces another legendary coach, a living legend when it comes to Andy Reid being a coach, in Kansas City against Buffalo. This game, I don't think this one is as close as I think the other game will be. But what I will tell you about this Kansas City and the Buffalo game, both these offenses are on fire right now. And if you can do that to Bill Belichick, Andy Reid doesn't really stand much of a chance defensively of stopping them. So luckily, he's an offensive coach. And Patrick Mahomes looked like the one that people were saying he's going to be the greatest quarterback ever after a year. He looks like that guy again. Their offensive line looks to be settled in. Their defense has kind of figured their way out. Again, I like to say, make sure the defense can hold the line. I think the Chiefs defense can hold the line while Patrick Mahomes continues to put points on the board. So I like this game. I think this is going to be a great watchable game. What say you?
Yeah, it's all on just, does the Buffalo turn the ball over? I think if Buffalo turns the ball over, they're in real trouble. They've got to do two things. Buffalo has to not turn the ball over, and they have to get a handful of three and outs on this offense, and better than getting them as the game progresses. If they give up a couple of early scores, because teams, even bad teams, can script out the first two drives and keep you on your heels until the photos come down from the press box and you start looking at the iPad a couple of times and then get back on the field the third or fourth or fifth time. Kind of like a baseball player, you know, hit a batter, going finally seeing that pitcher the third time through the order sometimes. That's where they got to do it. They've got to do it as the game progresses. They've got to frustrate Mahomes in the middle quarters towards the going into the fourth and getting that punting crew out then. And if they do those two things, I like Buffalo. I think they've learned a lot of lessons from last year's loss. Say that five times, man. I think they've learned a lot of lessons from last year's loss and the way they played against Belichick, who, like we talked about earlier, it's not like the Patriots played some awful game and laid some egg. I mean, they came out and Mac wasn't that bad. I mean, that pick by Hyde was just perfect, right? It was just a perfect play. So if they can have that kind of address the game that way, I think the Chiefs are in trouble a little bit. But I feel like the team that plays closer to the way they played in the first game is going to be the winner. And I don't think it'll be close. I think it'll be either Buffalo by two touchdowns because they played more like they did against New England, or Kansas City by two touchdowns because they played more like they did against Pittsburgh than Buffalo did again. And I just think that's where it's going to come down.
One of the things that we need to all obviously look at this time of the year is the weather in these cities where these games are going to be played. The weather's not going to be a factor in this game. And I think that's going to lead to some real fireworks. I, as much as people don't like to bet against Tom Brady, I'm on the verge of saying you may not want to bet against Patrick Mahomes either. I've seen Josh Allen be great last week, but you also have to take into account that's a division opponent. Mm-hmm. They know that defense very well. At this point in time, they've now beaten the Patriots, I think it's 2 years in a row. So they understand what they're up against from a Bill Belichick defense because he's now thrown everything at them. And Josh Allen scored seven straight touchdowns. Not he didn't, but the offense scored seven straight touchdowns. So that if you're in Kansas City, I know they're looking at that going, well, we have more firepower than they do. So them coming out, and like you said, any team can put together two drives, put 10 points on the board, put 14 points on the board, put 7 points on the board. What do you do after that? Well, the Chiefs can score 10 drives after that, two drives out. Like, they can score in two plays because that's what makes them so deadly. There is no way for you to slow them down. Only they can slow them down. Because I know the Bills are going to employ. They're going to go back to the video. They're going to look at why Kansas City struggled. And then they'll realize, okay, Kansas City struggled because they kept trying to make big plays when the little plays were available. They weren't taking them. And Buffalo's going to try to make them make 8 to 10 plays down the field to get a score. And the Chiefs will. Now, the question will be, can Buffalo have the same patience? Can Kansas City figure out the puzzle that is Josh Allen, who can run faster than your linebackers but can throw better than just about any other quarterback in the league with accuracy? So I'm looking at this game. I'm hitting my checklist. Again, do this exercise if you're in your car. Kansas City. Who's got the better quarterback? I'm going Kansas City. It's debatable, but I'm going Kansas City. Who's got the better running back? I'll give that to Buffalo. Who's got the better wide receivers? I'm giving that to Kansas City, and I'm going to call the defense a draw just because the defense on both – the Bills' defense has been up and down, but mostly up, and the Chiefs' defense was way down, and now it's way up. And so, again, I'm expecting both those guys to hold the line, but Kansas City, I think, has got too much firepower, man.
Yeah, I'm going to – you know what? I like the way the Bills' defense has been playing, and I like what it's made up of. And sometimes throughout a season, even a good defense, when they know their offense is coasting and they know that they've already got W circled on the schedule three games ahead because it's this team or that team, and then you end up losing to a Jaguars because you're doing stuff like that, right? But then these are the nitty-gritty games when you know this is – this is what we do, man. And – that Bills defense reminds me a lot of that Rams defense, right? Okay, this is our time. Let's dig in and let's lick our chops. And, the big key is going to be hitting Kelsey. Do you hit Kelsey harder than he hits you? And do you give up? Do you tackle him in the open field and make sure he doesn't lumber for that extra 10, 12, 15 yards after the catch and find, avenues and alleys to get free and even maybe beat you past the secondary for a touchdown across the middle or something, right? So, but all things being equal, just the way that the season is laid out, I think Josh Allen, as long as he doesn't turn it over, and they can get some the defense and can get the ball back from, I think that's going to happen. You're right. Weather isn't going to be a factor. Even if it was, both teams are used to it. I'm taking the Bills. I like the Bills in this game.
Give me some numbers.
37
Wow.
28, 37, 28. Bills just bring a little bit more firepower, make the bigger plays, and Allen doesn't turn it over. And they're going crazy in Buffalo. They're jumping on tables. You know what I'm going to do? If the Bills win this game, I'm moving to Buffalo and I'm opening a table business. I'm selling tables for daylight. Yeah. There must be a guy living in the biggest house in Buffalo that just sells like party tables.
That's it. The greater New York area is out of tables. They don't sell them. Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm looking at the same game you're looking at, and I'm going 34-24 Kansas City.
Okay.
I think toward the end, Buffalo will be squeezing a little bit too hard, and when you squeeze a little bit too hard, you tend to make a mistake that you haven't really been making. But I love this game.
This is an
in-front-of-your-television game. This is a get-everybody-out-of-the-house game or get to a bar with some friends and check this game out, because I think that's what I'm going to do. Brown and Longhead, we got so much more to come back. We got two more games to go over. Brown and Longhead right back here on the ESPN Mightier 1090. Welcome back to the second half of Browner and Longhead. If you missed anything on the first half, like we always tell you guys, head over to YouTube or head over to iTunes. Kaplan and crew, like, share. We're the show with the date on the front of it. Welcome back to the Mightier 1090 ESPN or ESPN Mightier 1090. Legally, we haven't worked all that part out yet, but we got them four letters, and that's all that matters. Jason, we talked about the Tampa Bay Rams game. We talked about the Kansas City Bills game. We have not been in agreement on either game, which is good.
Yeah.
Let's see if that changes. We've got Green Bay hosting San Francisco. San Francisco is the hottest team going. I did a power ranking on Kaplan and crew, and I had them second, which above the Packers, which had the other two guys looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? But I'm used to that. I think this San Francisco team is not being given credit for what they've done. They went on the road and beat a better the Cowboys are better than the 49ers. They have better skill position players. Their quarterback's better. Their coach isn't. Their defense is on par. Their defense holds the line.
Yeah.
And they went in there and spanked them. I hate Green Bay. I hate the city of Green Bay. I hate the state of Wisconsin. I think they're all full of fat, pale people who need to get some more sun and stop eating so much cheese. But football, they're great. Aaron Rodgers is great. Regardless of what you think of him as a person, his skill set is great. He's great at it. So what I will say about Green Bay is you get that week off. That week off can either give you rest that you need to heal up, or it can interrupt your rhythm. The 49ers have been playing playoff football for maybe 4 weeks now. And you're coming off a Packer team that blew the lap. Week 18, they had a blowout win. Aaron Rodgers barely played, so he wasn't really focused toward the end of that game. You give them then a week off, and then you put them against a team that's coming in ready to hit. And I'm talking about hit. How do you see this game going, Jason?
Well, here's what I think the San Francisco 49ers, if you took any team that was started in these playoffs and would play through the playoffs, I think the last team you'd want as a road team to play against is this team, right? Look what they did last week of the season, LA up 17. I mean, they brought, I kidded last week's show, it was a home game for them because they did bring a lot of red jerseys, yes, and they brought a lot to Dallas as well, but it's still not their home field, right? It's still in a way, and they were able to just get that win on the road and weekend. And it was an important game for LA with the seeding and wanting to beat them. It wasn't just some laid down game because the Rams were already in. So then they obviously go on the road. Now they're in Green Bay in a different kind of environment. Green Bay has that long week plus off, 2 weeks off, and they've got San Francisco coming on a short week. San Francisco played on Sunday. They got to play on Saturday now, Saturday night. So the only thing that I like about Green Bay having the major advantage in this game is two key players kind of banged up. We'll see how effective they are coming back on that short week. San Francisco has been given a lot of effort in the last month plus. Many of those were road games. Many of those, you know, just – start tallying up and adding up. And, you know, yes, they're tough. Sure, they're good. But if there's one team that you'd want to play that's probably the easiest just to outscore. If you got to outscore somebody, which is at the end of the game day, the final score determines who wins the game. And so, you know, the lack of the ability for them to put up a lot of points. I know that's their MO, keeping teams at 17, 20, 23 tops maybe is where they want to be in this kind of a formula. But Rodgers, Devontae, you know, I just don't see it continuing for San Francisco. I like them. And hey, who knows? Maybe they are healthy enough and spry enough to get out there and knock Aaron Rodgers around and stuff the running game and make life hell, because, you know, Buccaneers did it last year. I mean, the Browns should have beat the Packers at Christmas on a game where Baker Mayfield turned the ball over four times. And that was a Packer team playing for the one seed.
How were the Browns able to stay in that game?
Well, defensively, really. I mean, the only all 21 points that the Packers needed basically all came off of turnovers, short field turnovers. It was long field, defensive stands, making them punt it. I think a couple times they even turned it over on downs at least once when he tried to go for it. That's how you beat them is, you know, shortening that lead. And it's similar to what I said about Kansas City early, right? Like, you can once the middle quarter start and you kind of get bleeding into the fourth quarter, can you make them punt the ball a lot? You make them go three and out? Now, that's what the Browns did. I think the Packers went three and out in a like 4 out of 6 possession swing there in the middle quarters. And that's the only reason the Browns were still in that game to have a chance, because they only gave up points after Baker turnovers.
I thought the Browns had the best defense in the league this year. And I think San Francisco's probably 2 or 3. And the best way to stop Green Bay is to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers and tackle. Make tackles. Don't let them do long plays, because Aaron Rodgers can get the ball fast, so they don't really do a lot of long passes. And tackle guys when you have the chance. Those are two things that the Browns and the 49ers are very good at. This is why I think San Francisco has a chance. And the one thing that's happened to Green Bay all year, teams have run on them. And what do the 49ers do? And they have running.
That's not what the Browns didn't do it. I mean, they did when they gave them the ball. The Browns ran for 7 yards of carry, but we didn't stay running the football.
You abandoned it. So when I look at this game, that's the one thing that I see. I think the 49ers have a feather in their cap. They're going to bludgeon the Packers on the ground, and they're going to limit. Not stop. They're going to limit the offensive possessions of the Packers. And I think that's the part of the game that people aren't talking about. The reason why the Cowboys were not successful is because they could never really get into a rhythm. Not because they weren't playing well, per se, but because they didn't get enough snaps. The 49ers will make sure you don't get a lot of snaps. So when you got a score, when you're used to getting 70 snaps, 80 snaps, you're going to get 50 against them. You're going to get 55, maybe 60 max. And so I don't know if they're going to make you go down the field 8 plays, 10 plays, because they're not going to let you beat them deep and they tackle. 8 plays, 10 plays. That's 5, 8, 10 minutes in the game. The first quarter is going to be over before you know it. If Jimmy G can stay turnover free, and that's a big, big, that's a Baker Mayfield size, if they can do that. That's why
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's why I like the 49ers in this game.
Yeah. You know, and Jimmy G's been sneaky good on third downs.
Very good.
When he's had to have it, you know, in his arm and have to do some stuff. Yes, they've been able to trust that run. Now, here's what I think. Is Matt LaFleur smart enough? And if I'm Matt LaFleur and taking what you just said into account and knowing that you're right about, you know, they're going to try to limit our snaps. They're going to try to limit the amount of times we make plays, right? If I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm coming out early and I'm saying, look, we're the team with rest. We're the team at home. Yeah, we got Aaron Rodgers, but guess what? You know what I'm going to do? And even if we have to punt a few times early or do whatever we got to do, I'm giving it to AJ Dillon and I'm hitting you at the line. And you know what? Yes. We're going to take the fight to your big guys up front early and try to wear you down with A.J. Dillon early between the tackles. And guess what? You might be surprised. A.J. Dillon might have more carries, if you're smart, in the first quarter than he's ever had in a game all year. Because I'm going to just, you know what? I'm going to hit. You know what you say? That's what you do. You know what you do? What do you do? You punch a puncher, right? That's what they always say, like in fight. You punch a puncher. You press a basketball. You press a pressing team. What does a great pressing team hate to have to do when they have the ball? They hate to be pressed. No, they don't want to be pressed. They want to be the ones pressing. So if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm going, look, guys, bring them into the cold and bring them in a little banged up and, you know, 6 days rest. And we're going to take the fight to them at the trenches. I'm giving the ball to A.J. Dillon a lot in the first quarter, first two quarters. And even if it's 7-3 at halftime or 10-7 or whatever it is, I want their defense feeling it. And I don't want Deebo Samuel out on the field.
give me some numbers. What we got here?
Well, I still like the Packers to outscore them. I'm going to say Packers 24, 49ers 20.
I'm going to go San Francisco 24, Green Bay 17.
And that's what I hope. Because I'll tell you what, if the Rams win and the Niners win, not only is the Super Bowl in L.A., the NFC title game's in L.A.
Ooh. And you listen, we talk about winning. That sounds like winning. With DraftKings, we want to find a way to help you win. It's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I'll get it in December with a huge boost for new customers. Counting down to the Super Bowl 56, new customers can get, buckle up, 56-1 odds on any team. Bet is $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins.
That ain't bad. Hey, if Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the action of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code GREATFRIENDS. Again, promo code GREATFRIENDS and get 56-1 odds. 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5, win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Just promo code GREATFRIENDS for 56-1 odds. This is crazy to say it out. At DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you must be 21 or older to gamble, and you must make a $5 deposit with a $1 wage. Per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com sportsbook. And remember, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Jason's favorite line. There you go, man. We are always trying to put money in your pocket. We always want to try to make sure, because listen, they're going to play the games. You might as well bet on them. I'm not the person who's like, oh, gambling should be illegal. Hell no. More gambling, okay? You know how much money this state makes off weed? You know that Colorado is now in a surplus because of marijuana? Okay, California is on the verge of pretty much doing the same thing because of weed. Now, you add gambling to that, it's a utopia, okay?
Yeah.
So look at Las Vegas. It's been working for Nevada. What the hell is in Nevada? How come Nevada's never in the red? You know why? Gambling, fool. Gambling. So, you know, come on and play. And if you got a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. But outside of that, you know, spend the money.
But they got gambling, they got prostitution, and they've got weed.
That's what they call a trifecta, Jason.
That's what they call. Then that's a good thing to bet when you're down at the track. Bet the trifecta.
Yes, that's what they call the triangle offense. It works. It's the financial triangle offense. It works good stuff. Brilliantly. Check the state. We got one more game left. If you guys are just joining us, we've already talked about the Rams. We talked about
What we didn't do, though, Browner? What we didn't do? Because I've been loving this. So even though we made our predictions and everything, we didn't do the checklist. Do the checklist for the guy that's at home, for the guy that's got his pen. Let's go down that 49er we can cover our bases, 49er Packer checklist.
Let's do our checklist because, like we talked about, if you're in your car, mentally do this checklist. If you're sitting down, you got a pen in your hand. Do this checklist because this will help you tell yourself who's going to win the game. Because if something sounds dumb, write it down. And if it still sounds dumb, say it out loud. And if it still sounds dumb, then it's dumb. So, Coach, Green Bay, San Francisco. I like San Francisco.
Me too.
Quarterback, that's not a debate. I like Green Bay. Running back, I think that's a wash.
I think it's a wash too.
Because I think AJ, you're right. AJ Dillon is a beast.
The question is, but the way they use Debo Samuel on the other side of the ball, so it's a wash.
Yes. Wide receivers, Green Bay. Now, again, Devontae Adams is better than anything they have on the other side. And I'm including Debo Samuel because they use him as
a because Devontae's going to get 14 targets. Right. Debo's going to maybe get 6 to 8.
Right. Defense. That's going to, and for me, that's San Francisco. I don't even think it's close. Again, the Packers defense has been holding the line, but they can't hold the candle next to San Francisco if these guys are out there and they're healthy. So, I mean, that's very even. That's very
it's a close score. That's a close score.
Yes, that's very even. And I think this feels a lot like that Ram game to me. The 49ers defense will be more important than their offense, and the Green Bay Packer offensive line will be more important than the Packer defense. So we'll see how that shakes out. We've given you guys our score. Let's get to – what do we got here? We got about 6 minutes left.
Yep.
Tennessee, Cincinnati. We saved this game for last because I'll probably be at Costco. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'll probably be making a beer run. I'll probably go out and get some ground beef to go with my nachos, my cheese. I got to tell y'all, man, I got no interest in this one. I really don't. So y'all have fun watching this one. Jason, take it away.
I like this matchup only because there's some new blood. I know Tennessee's been around the block a couple of times in the last few years with Vrabel, but I like this with some new blood, especially with Burrow and Chase. I enjoy watching them play. I think that this will be maybe, you know, as far as points and some scoring, this could be a little bit of a shootout. This one could get going off the rails, and if Tannehill can move the chains and, you know, Burrows does what Burrow does, this game could score some points. And on the other flip side, both of these guys might have one of those games where they're turning it over and getting sacked all over the place, and it could turn into one of those.
This is the only game where either team can blow the other team out or either team can shut the other team out. I don't know.
But I like the Bengals. I think if you're a road, I like the fact that all four of these road teams are very dangerous this weekend. I think I wouldn't be surprised, right? If you woke up and we started talking on Monday that every road team won this weekend, that would not make my jaw drop. Not in the least would it be if it was a road sweep. I don't think it will be on a couple of my picks. But I kind of hope it will be. In a way, I kind of hope that it would be Rams, Niners, Bills, Bengals. I think that would be fun for the NFL and for what's at stake. You know, the Bills would get an AFC title game. The Rams would get an NFC title game. That would be kind of cool. I like the Bengals. I like the way they've just kind of got their way into this playoff from a season where they weren't expected to do much in a division where, you know, the Browns and the Ravens and the Steelers got so much pre-hype publicity for the seasons that they had coming off of and what they had left. Burrow wins game one of, you know, first game in 31 years for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. They haven't won ever a road playoff game, the history of the franchise. Even the two games they got to the Super Bowl, the two times in their history, they never had to go on the road. So I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals 38-31.
Okay, 38-31.
You got to do your checklist before your prediction.
Yeah, I was about to say, let me hit the checklist because the checklist is going to help me get to my prediction. Mm-hmm. Coach, Vrabel over Zach Taylor, is it?
Yeah.
I'm taking Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Quarterback, I'm taking Joe Burrow. I know what I've said in the past.
Right.
But it's still Ryan Tannehill. Running back, I gotta go with whoever Tennessee rolls out because they've got three dudes. Most importantly, Derrick Henry will be coming back. He passed the physical test that they had him to do. He did some he ran through some tackling drills today, so he's good to go. He's 100%, so he will be playing.
And that's their identity, right? Yes. Like, yes, the Bengals want Mixon to get 15 carries and be able to be around 4.5 yards.
But they
also want to throw him the ball as well.
Running back, we just did wide receiver. This is a tricky one for me. Because I think Ja'Marr Chase is amazing. But A.J. Brown is fantastic as well. The Titans have more wide receivers. I like their tight end position too. They have better skill position players, with the exception of the Titans have better skill position players. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Titans on wide receivers.
Okay. I think that's more of a wash because I think Burrow improves what he's got, and Tannehill's lucky to have what he has.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
And Jamar Chase is the best individual player of those two teams in that, in my opinion, in the way the season he's had right now. So I'll make that a wash over the total board on that.
Defense, I got to go to the Titans, because if it wasn't mm-hmm. for the Titans defense, God, where would they be? Where would they be? Yeah. I've seen the Bears Swiss cheese the Bengals. That's not good. So and with Justin Fields, not Andy Dalton. So
Baker Mayfield Swiss cheese the Bengals all day long. The best game he played all year was against the Bengals. Justin Herbert, I believe, Swiss cheese the Bengals all game long.
And this is what scares me about Cincinnati. But this is also why I think this scares me about Tennessee. Because you can Swiss cheese the Bengals defense. One, they know they have to score. Right. Two, the Titans have Swiss cheesed anybody. They run the ball. They're ground game. AJ Brown is great. But what – Julio Jones also. I forgot Julio Jones is on this team.
Yeah.
So they've got skill position players. They don't have the person to deliver the ball. And this is why I haven't been sold on them all year, because when it comes down to winning the game, you can't run the ball. Not that they can't run the ball physically, that by time-wise, pressure-wise, the clock, the way that the NFL game works, you can't run the football with 40 seconds on the clock to win the game. The quarterback's got to be able to deliver. And I've never seen Ryan Tannehill be that guy. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is that guy, and I don't think he's going to do that this Sunday. So we've had a great show. We've gone back and forth. I don't know who's going to win that game. Jason's got Cincinnati 38-31. Brown and Lawhead. Peace.
Peace.